as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Good morning, Hunterdon, HuntonChamber.com. I got my guest here. It's Greg DeSanctis, and he is from Raritan Valley Community College. We've been doing this for about 2 years now, loving the enjoyment of learning all about the extra things that are going on at our community college for both Somerset and Hunterdon counties. Greg is the director of the Honors Program over there, and we're going to learn a lot about it. So let's bring Greg in and find out all about it. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. We have you here, and we're going to learn about the Honors Program. So we usually start out with the simple stuff. Who are you? How did you get involved with Raritan Valley Community College?
Sure. I've been working at Raritan Valley for over 14 years now in a variety of roles, initially in the financial aid office, before I moved into academic advising. I was an advisor for about 5 years, and I was lucky enough to work with the New Jersey STAR students, which is a scholarship program for high-achieving high school graduates, students who graduate in the top 15% of their class and who choose to attend their home county college for free tuition throughout their 2 years. Mm-hmm. After working with this group for several years, the college decided to create an honors college, a separate cohort of students within Raritan Valley. Right. And I was fortunate enough to be asked, since I had been working with these high-achieving students already as a New Jersey STARS advisor, to coordinate the honors program with a faculty partner at Raritan Valley.
Wow.
We've now been doing this for 5 years, and we're in the midst of recruiting for our sixth cohort.
USA Radio News. Earlier today, in a ceremony at the White House, President Trump signed the VA Mission Act of 2018. The president explains what this means for veterans across the country.
I'll be signing landmark legislation to provide health care choice. What a beautiful word that is, choice. Because no matter where you served or when you fought, if you were in uniform, at some point, if you wore that uniform, then you deserve our absolute best, and that's what we're doing.
Today at the White House, economic advisor Larry Kudlow discussed some key points before the upcoming G7 summit.
The United States now has the fastest growing economy in the world, according to the OECD, or at least the fastest growing economy among the industrialized nations. Second, there will be trade discussions, as you might imagine. Third, there will be some important bilateral meetings.
This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303.
Not all benefits listed may be available on all plans or in a single benefit package. Enrollment in the described plan type may be limited to certain times of the year unless you qualify for a special enrollment period. No obligation to enroll.
Well, we're 2.5 days into the Philadelphia Eagles being invited, then disinvited by President Trump to the White House. Congressman Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin even wonders, should this be on everyone's radar?
I just would say, particularly at a time when we have an upcoming summit with North Korea, when we have a host of unresolved issues here in Congress, we have a broken budget process. We just found out yesterday that Medicare is going bankrupt in 2026. I just try and stay focused on the real issues, and I'm not sure consuming the empty calories of the endless culture war gets us anywhere.
Yesterday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell came out and said that the Senate would not be going on their usual August recess. Republican Congressman Kevin McCarthy shares more insight as to why things are not being done in the Senate.
If you look at the number of cloture votes just on the nominees for President Trump, if you take the last six presidents, the total number of cloture votes for nominees was 24 combined. They had 100. That means they have just delayed everything.
This is USA Radio News.
Allergy sufferers, my name's Nigel. As a wise and educated owl, I know the difference between what's wise and unwise. Suffering needlessly with allergy symptoms, unwise. Getting a free 10-day sample of Zizol, quite wise. Zizol is the allergy medicine that's just as effective at hour 24 as at hour 1, which makes getting a free 10-day sample one of the wisest things you can do. So don't be unwise. Be wise all and visit Zizol.com for your free sample today. Use as directed.
A new report out says Social Security will spend more than it collects this year. This is the first time this has happened in over 35 years, and it will slide towards insolvency by the year 2034. Things are looking rather grim for Medicare as well, as it is scheduled to hit insolvency by the year 2026, 3 years earlier than what last year people had estimated. Former Senator Jim the Mint says we're in trouble, and we're in trouble right now.
Stuart, the tax cuts have absolutely nothing to do with the FICA tax, Social Security and Medicare, which is the largest tax most Americans pay. As you know, for the last several decades, the Americans have been paying more in these Social Security taxes than the government has needed to pay the Social Security retirees. So there's a $3 trillion surplus, but there's really not an emergency fund that you just mentioned. This money has to come out of the general fund. The federal government has borrowed all of the surplus, so Social Security is not in trouble in 10 or 15 years. It's in trouble this year.
Speaker of the House Paul Ryan says President Trump should not consider pardoning himself. USA Radio Network's Washington correspondent Chris Barnes has more.
Reporters were pressing the Republican House Speaker about the president's claim this week that he has the absolute authority to pardon himself.
Obviously, the answer is he shouldn't, and no one is above the law.
After making that statement, Ryan did not take follow-up questions.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And good afternoon. I have an exciting show today. If you guys have been following me for a long time on Modern Design, you'll see two familiar faces, and they are Jesse.
Hi.
And Connor.
Hello.
And Connor and Jesse are broadcasting majors at Ithaca College.
Yes, we are.
In New York, where it's colder than it is here, I would imagine. And they're with me for the summer. They're going to be working on Modern Design here at WHCRDB, but they're also going to be working for me in the new television show Design for the Time. So, thanks, guys, for coming.
Of course. I'd love to be here.
Photo finish today, guys. I had a seminar, so I do apologize for coming in like 30 seconds before we had to be in studio and get set up. I'm glad you're also, we've added the new element of Facebook Live. Do you guys look at Facebook? Because someone told me recently, you met at the book signing my new assistant, who's 20, and she said to me, oh, Facebook is for old people. So in people in college, do they say, well, I want to visit my grandma on Facebook, and they don't use it anymore? I know Instagram seems to be the place to be. I'll do them separately. Jesse, what's your perception of social media?
Okay, so I use Facebook, and I actually am sometimes like made fun of for it. They're like, oh, no one's on Facebook anymore. But I use it. I browse stuff. But I have grown a little bit. Everyone's yelling at me to get an Instagram, and I have one. Someone made one for me, and I don't do much with it. I actually don't follow anyone back with it. But I did make it so at least people knew it was me. And then I'm more like just Reddit at this point. But I do use Facebook to communicate with some people. I post my pictures there, and I post like, hey, I got an internship or a job there too. So
sure, and very successful. Tell our listeners what you, since last year, what you did this year.
In February, I actually was an intern with NBC to cover the Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea. So they flew me out there, and I helped them around at Phoenix Snow Park.
That's just amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Connor, let's talk a little bit about you and what's going on with you, what you're working on or want to work on or what's going on.
Yeah. So at Ithaca, I have been working more with the television station at the college. Uh-huh. So I got to produce a show this past year. Uh-huh. Not quite the same as going to...
No, it's great. Olympics, but, that's great.
Yeah. So that's my big thing.
Let's talk about your perception of social media. So if somebody were to be current, or maybe what do you like to go on to? If you go into social media, where would you head first?
The first place I'd probably head is Twitter.
Okay.
I've gotten a lot more involved on Twitter within the past year. I used to be very involved on Facebook, but honestly, I just don't really touch it anymore. I'd say it's like 50-50 where some people are like really into it and some people just like never even look at it.
Sure.
But Twitter, Instagram, and Reddit, I think, are the three big ones. So, Snapchat, of course.
So yes, I don't get Snapchat like at all. So, you know, I'm trying to grow my business, and you guys know I have other things going, the book and the other things that I'm working on. But so I set up to, when I put media out there, projects I'm working on, you know, it's easy to post them on Facebook. We stream the show on Facebook Live. It's easy to tweet. In fact, when you go on Facebook, it just goes to Twitter now. The account is set up, so it just goes to Twitter anyway. So that's kind of easy for me. I opened an Instagram account because it's, to me, the Instagram guys, what you think collectively, it's all about pictures, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So on a daily basis, when I work on something or create something, I like to post it. It's good for business. What? Let's talk about Reddit. It's that weird, I don't know, what is that thing?
It's like an alien thing.
An alien bunny, right? Yeah. Like an alien bunny? An Easter alien bunny.
It's basically...
Is Reddit the newest one? Is that what it is?
No, it's been around for quite a while.
Is it getting more popular, though?
It's not like social media where it's like you post stuff and comment where you can. But they have like what these called subreddits. So they're like subthreads. So like I'm a huge Houston Texans fan.
Okay.
So there's a subreddit for Houston Texans fans where we just post news. We have a discussion. It's all of us are in a group together, you know?
Oh, it's like a group.
Yeah. So
oh, cool.
Or you can do stuff like... They call them r/something. So it's r/foods. It's like if you're really into foods, people post pictures of stuff they cooked today and stuff like that. But it's all anonymous.
Okay.
So I don't think anyone can track you with Reddit, allows people to really just be themselves.
Right.
And what's nice about Reddit, depending on which thread you are and why I like it filters out all the people that are like, you know, jerks and people who are just there to pick on other people. They do a very good job of filtering those guys out. So you're only getting stuff that you like.
So it's more of an educational, fun, and safe site.
It's not safe if you go to the wrong areas, but it is fun. And
sounds like that's happened to both of you personally, by the way you said that.
Not personally.
I've seen some pretty mean people.
It's nice, though. There's literally something for everything. Like, one day I was feeling in the mood of looking at otters, and there's a whole group of people that post otter stuff. So
okay.
That's kind of funny.
Cool. All right, so we're going to take our first set of commercial messages. A lot to talk about. We are going to talk about decorating today, folks. Our topic today, if you follow me on social media, on my website, which is, not my website, I'm sorry, my blog, which is the, color, C-O-L-L-O-R, guru, G-U-R-U, at blogspot.com. It starts there on Sunday. I post an idea. Then it transitions to our radio show here at WHCR, and then finally to the television station for Design for the Times. So our topic today is called Industrial Chic. I'm going to talk to the guys because they're cutting edge. They're younger than me. Everybody's younger than me. And we'll talk about what's trending, what people like, and so on after these commercial messages.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that you really have to learn to do because that way you know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design. This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical. And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunter and Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, home stager, and contractor these days, doing a lot of kitchens and baths. Why don't we take a look at today's weather, which seems kind of not that nice, guys. All right, so let's take a look at today's weather. Some of our spots today, Jesse and Connor are broadcasting majors, so we had some of our advertisements seemed a little low, so we're trying to, if you see us flopping around here on Facebook Live, because we're just trying to get that right. But it seems like we're back on track now. It's telling me, the National Weather Service is telling me that it's currently 70 degrees and mostly cloudy. This afternoon it'll continue to be cloudy with a high of 71. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 52. On Thursday, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 76. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 55. Friday, that's good. Friday's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 82. Let's go swimming. Friday night, thunderstorms with a low of 61. Saturday, what is it with our weekends, guys? Saturday, 50% chance of thunderstorms with only a high of 78. Saturday night, showers likely with a low of 60. And on Sunday, guess what? Showers again with a high of 75. Wow. We should be painting or doing stuff inside because it doesn't seem like we can go outside. My name again is Richard Scuderi. Our program is called Modern Design. We meet here in studio each Wednesday live from 2 to 3 and talk all things about design. If you're just tuning into our program at this point, I have two guests that have been with me all last season. I'm so excited of how they're going to prove the show. They are Jesse and Connor, and they are broadcasting majors at Ithaca College. Did you just hear your commercial you made last year?
Yeah, I did.
It was good. You know what? We did the whole show on blue, and then like blue took off. You know that, right? It just took off after that. So I think we were ahead of the curve. I'm going to ask you guys to make me a new updated commercial because everybody redid their commercials. Mm-hmm. I said if I was fortunate enough to have you guys back, we'd make a new one. Mm-hmm. So our topic today happens to be industrial chic, the way that decorating has changed, the way people view things, the way they look at them. You go to like maybe like an off-campus bar, you guys go to places to eat. There's a distinct difference, I think, in the way things look. Even in the last 5 years, things are much more urban looking, right? Simpler, more clean lines, more urban, maybe weathered wood mixed with metal, and things are different. I'll start with you, Jesse. Like up in Ithaca, New York, any like great places like to eat or modern like watering holes or, God, I say bars, places for that you guys go to?
I'm still 20 years old, so I'm not. Yeah. So it's still college town. I want to say we haven't had too many new establishments in our. We have a little commons area by our college, excuse me, where there's a lot of restaurants and places to eat. Not much has changed, but it's like you know your classic like college town y stuff. So
sure.
It's like, like a lot of fusions, a lot of like places open late night that you can go, just like some comfort food too. I know some interesting places. Like I want to say one of the places, Luna is really cool because you actually eat inside a garage door.
I love that. Yeah, it's garage doors are like quintessentially urban.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what do you mean inside a garage door? The space has a garage door on one side?
Yeah, it's a garage door. You walk in through the garage door.
Okay,
and
cool.
And they close it at night if it gets too chilly.
Right.
And they open it, and you can eat outside as well if you want to. It's like the restaurant's also designed so there's like a bunch of large benches so people have to, you know, you can actually fit two different groups in there if they're small enough. You can eat outside on the aluminum chairs and stuff like that. So it's pretty interesting. And the food there is pretty interesting as well.
So see, I think people are getting a little bit more sophisticated about food. And then part of that is changing the decor. I've been working most recently on a restaurant in New Providence called Mo's Bistro, which was it's a Mediterranean restaurant. So it was done with lots of oranges and yellows and food colors and kind of traditional. And I went in there and said, you know what? It's time that we made a change. Make it more sophisticated. So we did a palette of gray, black, and white, and boy, did that change things a little bit. They had some wonderful art, individual art on the walls, and I kept the pop of color as the art that went around the room. picked a color called Benjamin Moore's Revere Pewter, which is sort of a grayish, a combination of gray and beige. Went all the way around it, did the baseboard molding and super white all around it. And then the ceiling in this restaurant, unfortunately, was kind of messed up and so on. So if you use a dark gray, we used a dark gray called Kendall Charcoal, and then it let the all the mechanicals sort of disappear a little bit, and it gave it more of that urban look. I built the bar into the space, and the bar was something that was salvaged from an old Grand Hotel in Philadelphia in 1876, not 1976, but then paired it with sleek modern chairs and lots of metallics and silvers, and did really cool pendants with the clear pendants with the Edison bulb, so you see the filament. And that was a way of bringing some of that industrial chic into a space that was still somewhat traditional, but it updated. So when you sit in a restaurant like that, you had a lot of passion about kind of what it looked like. Don't you think that's part of the restaurant experience, is the decor that you're sitting in?
Yeah, I definitely do. And if the restaurant looks like little effort was put into the surroundings,
right,
you
right.
can kind of tell that the maybe, like, well, if they can't put in some effort in cleaning it a little bit, what's the food going to be like? And also, the food could be delicious, but it can also be dampened by your surroundings.
You're right. So,
actually, I have a question for you about
sure.
this, on this topic, actually. Uh-huh. So, like, a lot of people sometimes criticize. So, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen Kitchen Nightmares.
Yes.
So, when something other than changing the menu, Ramsay also goes and redo the
He always does the restaurant. Yeah.
So, he received some criticism from people because people were like, oh, he's taking these restaurants that had some charm about traditional, like, if it's a surf shop, you know, it's kind of like a hut and everything, but he turns them into these, like, what looks like sophisticated, high class restaurants. Are you against that, or do you believe that, like, what he's doing is, like, kind of a good direction?
I actually have a very strong opinion about mm-hmm. this because locally here, now, I know you used to live in Flemington, mm-hmm. and you live more towards down the shore, right?
Yes.
All right, but in this Flemington area here mm-hmm. in White House Station, mm-hmm. there was a restaurant that had been there for years, and it's the train station for White House Station. It's White House Station because that's a train stop.
I know that place.
All right, so there's a big story about this, mm-hmm. a local story. So it had been this really wonderful Italian restaurant for the last 20 years called Spiata's. Mm-hmm. They retired or something. And the new people came in, and they opened a restaurant. They were older, and their daughter wanted to have a restaurant. I guess they did diners. They had been in that business, and they were ready to retire. So their daughter wanted to open a restaurant again where that space was available, and they called it Flamingos, I think it was called, because she loves all things that were from Florida. And it was very 1980s, right? Super 1980s. And they were struggling financially because even though the food was good, the decor made you feel awful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they brought in Gordon Ramsay, and he revamped the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And he decided to take an old, historic stone train station mm-hmm. and make it sort of retro diner, mm-hmm. Miami, chrome, modern. And he took a lot of flack for that because he didn't work with the character of what's there. You can pair things. If you go to Europe, you basically live in a cave as an apartment, right? These things mm-hmm. are like dugout caves. But all the furniture in this place are modern, like mm-hmm. super modern. Europeans like super modern stuff. Mm-hmm. So old stuff could really coexist actually kind of well mm-hmm. with new stuff, like old floorboards that are very wide and then modern mm-hmm. furniture paired together nice. But he sort of stripped it of its character, and the restaurant closed. It didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to say I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. One of the things about design, guys, is that design is a balance. So anybody could go to Pottery Barn or any of these – I'm trying to think of something that's a little bit more hip than that. Any of these places West Elm or any of these places and buy, say, oh, that's nice, and that's nice. The thing is, you take that and then you put it into the place you live and bring it all together. So bringing it all together is a sense of balance, and that's what it's all about. Juxtaposing things that are rustic with things that are kind of clean and modern, and then you get a balance of stuff. Just like if this room is very bright, so the color that they painted in here was like a light, I don't know, beige tan color. Doesn't do much for the room, does it? In this case, you'd want to do a darker color. Mm-hmm. Because it would balance the amount of light in the space. Mm-hmm. That's how design works. It's a combination of both. In this case, the guy should have worked with all the stone, exposed it, and then did some great things with it. Maybe added weather wood to the stone mm-hmm. and a little bit of metal at the bar, maybe inlaid some metal into it and made that work. So I'll go to you, Connor, on any space that you had been in that was kind of cool. Maybe like down the shore, there's a lot of nice restaurants down there. Places to go. I can't say bars on the air, but places to go. Any places you've seen space or just your own personal personal taste, but things that are a little bit industrial.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to talk a little bit about the place that I work, Langosta Lounge. It's in Asbury Park.
Oh, cool. Well, Asbury Park is, like, so hot right now.
Yes, and Asbury Park is really in.
Okay.
And where I work, it has a very interesting vibe to it, where everything... So the theme of the restaurant, it's a bit of a strange theme. It's vacation-themed.
Okay.
So it's supposed to be, like, food that you can get, like, from all around the world. So it's, like, a lot of fusion, a lot of Asian influence, a lot of... like South Asian, East Asian, and also
well,
a little bit of...
What they call fusion, so yeah, a lot of different cultures, right?
Yeah, a lot of different cultures. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of... But in the actual restaurant, they're also trying to make it seem... give it like a surf vibe, because it's on the boardwalk. It's like right next to the ocean.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of wood.
Uh-huh.
It's very dark, and...
Well, describe it a little bit. Like, you say there's a lot of wood. Is the wood... What's on the floor surface?
The floor? So it's a very dark... Actually, I'm not entirely sure of what material it would be.
So it's not, like, polished concrete or anything like that?
No.
Is it a tile that looks like wood?
It's not wood.
Okay.
Like
a composite product that looks like wood?
It doesn't look like wood on the floor, but everything else, like the... bar is wood, the seats are wood, the tables are wood, there are benches that are wood, and it's all very, very rich.
Okay.
It's a very colorful place, and then on top of that, there's like red cushions on the wood, and then to like contrast that, there are like some blue pillows with more brown inside the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
We have one room, which is a sushi room, and then on the ceiling there's actually a bunch of hanging paper lamps that are all different colors.
That must look really nice, festive.
Yeah, it's a very festive-looking place. It's very interesting to kind of, like, walk in there and, like, see everything, because everything is so... It's strange, because, like, I'm describing it now, and I'm feeling like it sounds very loud, but when you walk in there, it doesn't seem loud. It doesn't seem, like, overly colorful. It just seems like everything is very rich and a very high contrast.
Is it something that you'd say, oh, my God, I want to adapt something like this to my own house?
I'm not sure if I would want that in my own house, but it's definitely a interesting place to work, and I can imagine, like, an interesting place to just go and eat, because it's, like, its own little pocket world outside of everything else.
Don't you think, again, like I said to Jesse, like, the if the kitchen was still the same, but if the restaurant didn't look like that, don't you think the dining experience would be different?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is like what half the restaurant is.
Yeah, right? It's like if people are going out, even if it's just for the night, maybe they're not going down the shore for the week, but they're going out for the night, they're looking for an experience. And part of the experience is the food, but part of the experience is the experience, and that has to do with the design.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, believe it or not, we're already up to our news. We're going to take a quick news. A lot to talk about. Industrial chic. I'm going to open up the phone lines, and if anybody wants to call in, they can do that and tell us about their industrial chic, and we'll be back right after the news.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, in a ceremony at the White House, President Trump signed the VA Mission Act of 2018. The president explains what this means for veterans across the country.
I'll be signing landmark legislation to provide health care choice. What a beautiful word that is, choice. Because no matter where you served or when you fought, if you were in uniform, at some point, if you wore that uniform, then you deserve our absolute best, and that's what we're doing.
Today at the White House, economic advisor Larry Kudlow discussed some key points before the upcoming G7 summit.
The United States now has the fastest growing economy in the world, according to the OECD, or at least the fastest growing economy among the industrialized nations. Second, there will be trade discussions, as you might imagine. Third, there will be some important bilateral meetings.
This is USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by Applebee's. Applebee's expands its signature 2-for-20 menu, two full-size entrees and a full-size appetizer to share for $20, by adding flame-grilled steak as an extra option to tempt everyone's taste buds. Starting on May 28th and for a limited time only, guests can enjoy a 6-ounce USDA Select Top Sirloin Steak as an entree option, by itself or in a delicious combo like the shrimp and parmesan sirloin. It will satisfy the biggest of appetites. And the best part is that you can share this with a special someone. Submit an image or video of your epic 2-for-20 proposal on Twitter from June 4th to June 10th using hashtag 2-for-20 contest for a chance to win a date night at Applebee's. And if you don't feel like dining in, also for a limited time, enjoy 20% off $20 or more on your next Applebee's Carside To-Go order. For more, visit Applebee's.com. Price and participation may vary by location.
USA Radio News.
Earlier today, in a ceremony at the White House, President Trump signed the VA Mission Act of 2018. The president explains what this means for veterans across the country.
I'll be signing landmark legislation to provide health care choice. What a beautiful word that is, choice. Because no matter where you served or when you fought, if you were in uniform, at some point, if you wore that uniform, then you deserve our absolute best, and that's what we're doing.
Today at the White House, economic advisor Larry Kudlow discussed some key points before the upcoming G7 summit.
The United States now has the fastest growing economy in the world, according to the OECD, or at least the fastest growing economy among the industrialized nations. Second, there will be trade discussions, as you might imagine. Third, there will be some important bilateral meetings.
This is USA Radio News.
Medicare rules are confusing. They should be. There are over 130,000 pages of regulations. There's Part A through D, Medicare Advantage, and Medigap. According to the CMS, there are government programs available that can help you pay for your medical expenses. Choosing the right Medicare plan is a really big deal. The wrong choice can cost you a lot of money, and the right choice can put more money in your pocket. Call one of our licensed representatives today. At 65 plus Medicare, our free service can show you a plan that will maximize your Medicare benefits, ensure you are taking advantage of all available government assistance programs, and save you money. Call now.
800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. 800-635-6303. That's 800-635-6303. Double that.
And we are back with more of Modern Design, having some technical difficulties. But guess what? I got two able-bodied guys to help me out. And it looks like Jesse saved the day, Facebook knowledgeable, and got us back up and running. So if you are watching us live, I do apologize about that. But we are back. We're live. We're in studio. We're talking all things industrial chic. And we're talking about... most recently, Connor's experience at that restaurant. What was the name of the restaurant again?
Langosta Lounge.
So before we go back into, I'm going to create some elements. I'm going to talk about how to make your existing space, just things that you can do, make it more industrial looking. But I haven't been, I have to say this, I'm kind of remiss. I haven't been to Asbury Park since it's really sort of gotten its groove back.
Yeah.
Where is all the development? Is it on the boulevard or is it on the boardwalk or both?
A little bit of both. So,
okay. What's the main boulevard there where like Moonstruck and stuff is?
I forget the name of it. Is honestly, it like I don't
Asbury know. Avenue or Cookman?
There definitely isn't Asbury Avenue. There's definitely a Cookman, and they're both very. There's both a lot of stuff going on both, but I can't remember which is which.
Okay. What's going on where that? Like, I remember going to the beach once in the 80s, and that was like it was just so bad down there and scary, and every business was closed. Pretty much, except for a couple, the old hotel and a couple of bars that were there. But it was cold. It was, you know, the beach was there, but it was just a sin because there was nothing there. What is on the boardwalk now? Lots of restaurants or just the area? Like, what's it like?
So the boardwalk definitely got revamped. There's a ton of restaurants, including Langosta Lounge. There's a lot of fusion food, a lot of shacks that are selling like crepes and more fusion food,
right?
Ice cream. It's a lot more family friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to move off the boardwalk, which is very popular, and Stone Pony, which is a very popular concert venue.
Sure.
The Wonder Bar, those are both like landmarks of Asbury Park.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I believe is Cookman Avenue, you head over there, and that area has been revamped as well, where there are a ton of businesses that are up and running. I'm not sure, have you ever been to Red Bank?
Yeah, I have been. Yes. Red Bank's beautiful, too.
Yeah, it's a lot, it's very similar to Red Bank, actually.
Okay.
So it's like a smaller version of it, like off of the boardwalk in Asbury Park. So, I mean, the area is beautiful, and it's just like, it's really taken off. Like, it's a very nice place to be.
And I would think that restaurants and stuff have to really up their game, because a lot of these people buy like condos down there, and they're New Yorkers, very successful, rich New Yorkers, right? Well, you know better than me, right? You just like jumped in when I said that expect their restaurants and the places they go to be experiences, you know? And restaurants now have to become, even if they're not by nature modern, have to become a little bit more modern, or they look dated. So in the place that I worked, which is called Moe's Bistro in New Providence, now Moe's Bistro and Bar in New Providence, we kind of went somewhat industrial. And there are things that you can do without making it totally industrial that do make it look cleaner and more updated. In fact, Lisa, the co-owner of the restaurant, said to me, I want to thank you for something. She said, not only are we getting so many compliments online in the restaurant of how it looks, but it's a lot easier to take care of. So one of the hallmarks of working with an industrial or contemporary look is not like a lot of stuff all over the place. So you do a couple of elements in succession, and that's it. And it made it much easier for them to take care of. So we're going to talk about some things that you can do to make your apartment, your room, your townhouse, your house, your mansion, anything that you're living in, maybe a little shack like you're talking about, making it look a little bit more industrial. So the first one of these elements happens to be color. So in industrial, when you think of color, what do you think of? Jesse?
Grays?
Yeah.
Yeah, some grays, kind of like the cooler colors, I imagine.
Yeah. Don't you think that for most, like now when you see at restaurants and places, you don't see a lot of color on the walls anymore? And if you disagree with me, that's fine. But I find I see lots of just gray, grayish, which is gray beige. But I don't see a lot of wall color anymore, and especially on spaces that are current and new. What about you guys?
I imagine because, so I don't notice the wall colors when I walk into a restaurant too much, and I imagine it's because of that. It's not popping as much
as it used to.
Yeah.
Because you would go into a restaurant before, and it would be like a pop of color. That would be part of the experience. Mm-hmm. And what they used to actually tell us, I go to continuing education all the time for being a designer. So today what I did, we went to Ethan Allen, and they had continuing education CU credits, and it was the Benjamin Moore people today, and they talked about paint color and what's trending now and how things are going. And what they were talking about is there's been this sort of change like I've never seen before in my career, where people are taking all the colors off their walls. They're making their walls grays or grayishes, and then the pop is coming in the decorating. So there are like pop colors where that goes. So for me, if you were going to make your space look a little bit more industrial, the first thing you would do is pick a really cool gray to go in the space. So there's a couple, there's about five I use consistently that are really kind of nice grays. Also, when you paint, you want to paint in a matte finish. Not something that's shiny. You want sort of clean and just sort of disappear into the background. Washable, but disappear in the background. So one of my favorite colors, most used colors, I would say for me, currently for industrial, would be Benjamin Moore's Revere Pewter. And that's sort of like a pewtery gray. It has a little bit of brown in it. It can be earthy. It pairs with other colors well, but really nice. The second one is also very popular. It's called Edgecomb Gray. It's another Benjamin Moore color that's very nice. One of my new favorite colors is called Gray Owl. And Gray Owl is sort of more of a neutral gray, not so beige. And then there's Coventry Gray, which is a really sort of sophisticated, nice, like a mid-tone gray color that I use probably all the time. And then probably my favorite of all the grays is called Stonington Gray. I always wish my name was Stonington Gray. Isn't that like a cool name?
Yeah.
Like you're a detective and your name is Stonington Gray. So those are the five grays that I use most often these days. And because we're switching now from brighter colors and deeper saturation colors, I've changed the trims that I do. So when you're painting something, you want to have contrast. So you want to show what's wall, and then you want to show what's trim. So I switched to Benjamin Moore Super White, which is their whitest white, so there'll be contrast between what is trim and what is wall. So starting with the paint colors, that's one of the ways that you could very much make a space look more industrial. Then let's talk about the floors. Floors are really cool, and they change a lot. About 10 years ago, I took over a space that was formerly a kitchen cabinet studio in Lebanon, and a local fishmonger, Mark, from Metropolitan Seafood, said, I have a raw space, Rich, make something happen there. So I wanted to make it feel a little bit more industrial, and I said, let's pick up the wood that's there already, that's very dated and needs to go. And I went down to the actual foundation, which was poured cement. I said, let's work with this foundation. So I found a guy in the area in Califon that did polished concrete. And back then, 10 years ago, not everybody was doing polished concrete anymore. So we took the original surface that was already there, and we used pigment, and we stained it. And what's cool about using concrete, especially old concrete, it takes different because concrete is porous. So it gets more saturated in some spots and less. So it created almost its own look, really nice. And then we did like five coats of polish, and that was our floor. So a polished concrete floor can really make a space look industrial. Have you guys ever seen or any spaces that are like that concrete floor look?
That the restaurant I was talking about earlier actually saw a concrete floor.
And isn't it cool looking?
It's cool. It's I want to say it's almost like comfy too, you know what I mean? Like it's easy to make it look clean, I want to say, because like it's shiny, it reflects the light from the ceilings.
Exactly. And easy to take care of. What about you? You like the idea of like a polished concrete floor?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not in your house, but maybe in an urban setting or an environment or a bar. I think that could be kind of cool. Believe it or not, we have to pay for the show, so we're going to take some more commercials. We're back with more, and today our topic happens to be industrial chic.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. I'm an interior designer, home stager, and contractor these days, working in projects all over the tri-state area, mostly New Jersey-centric, but some in Manhattan. and some in New Jersey, and a little bit in Connecticut now. So it's growing a little bit, which is nice. In studio live, I have today two guests, and I would say friends at this point, who have been with me all last summer, and then this summer until sort of the mid-August, and then they're probably going to take a little vacation before they go back to school. So you guys are both in your – so you're both going to go into your senior year now.
We're going into our junior year.
Oh, good. I have another year out of them, I think. Unless it's good. We'll see what happens. So our topic today happens to be industrial chic, and industrial chic probably sounds like it contradicts each other, because industrial sounds sort of rough and rugged, and chic sounds sort of elegant. But I think it's exactly those things. I think it's a combination of both. So some of the things that that make something industrial chic is, we're going to start by talking about the walls and going with some grays or greiges to sort of create that mood. The second thing we talked about is a little bit about floors, and we started just with using polished concrete as a floor, but there's a lot of wood now. So wood has, as you were saying before, Connor, wood has sort of rebound itself and become very popular, not even just on floors anymore, but other surfaces. But let's talk about wood on the floors. If you guys were to be able to design your first place, your first condo, you graduate, you get a job, you buy something, would you want wood floors?
I think I would.
I want wood floors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People feel very passionate about that. So, Jesse, why would you want wood floors?
Something my mom taught me when I was little. Like,
which is?
Our kitchen in our old house was laminated tiles.
Right.
And carpet in the basement. And she changed it all to wood floors. And as a kid, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fall. I want to run around. This is just too slippery.
And it's hard on your feet. Like, yeah, when you get used to it, it's hard on your feet in the beginning. Yeah.
But now that I swapped, it just looks so much better.
Better.
It's easy to match furniture with the wood flooring. And you can put rugs on top of it to really bring it out as well. So it really just looks nice. And it goes well with everything. It kind of warms the room up a little bit.
What about you, Connor?
I'd say exactly that last thing that you said. It really just warms up the room. And,
right.
I have like a personal connection with it because like I grew up in a house that was almost entirely wood floors.
Wow.
So it's just kind of, it's the go-to floor if I had to like think of anything. Like
right.
What would I want? First thing I would think of is wood.
So wood has changed a lot now. You know, we went for a long period of time that everybody just had that blonde oak floor. Then it went a little bit darker to kind of the color of the top of our desk. Then dark floors came in again. But now floors are kind of gray also. I don't know if you've seen that in the woods. There's a lot of grays and greiges. So the wood is like, it's a stained wood, but it looks brown. And then it looks gray. Have you guys seen that at all? Floorboards that have the gray look to them. I don't mean gray like gray on the walls where it's solid gray, but it's a stain, but there's gray in the brown stain.
I think I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, and I'm seeing that a lot. They do, like when you see tile that looks like wood, which is the next thing I want to talk about, you see that color a lot. But now even in wood, you go to places. When I was in Ethan Allen today, that's what their floor was. They had just redone the place, and it was all different shades of gray and different stuff with really white trim. And the floors were all wood, like a manufactured wood, but all the wood was sort of like a gray color, which I think is going to come in style. I'm a little bit concerned about doing that for the long term, though, because I think maybe that's going to trend, and that trend is going to go out of style. So I kind of, with me, with wood, I'd probably stay with a neutral brown and not go so much with a gray color. What about you guys?
Yeah, I'm more of I have not seen as much of the gray stained wood as much, so I probably would like to stay with that more of the brown style as well. But, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I think since just looking at the longevity and how long, like, you know, the certain color shades of brown wood have been
in style yeah.
Like, you can kind of count on that to stay in style. I mean, when is it really going to go out of style?
Exactly.
But this new grace, you know, it could stay in a little bit, but I don't know if it can
ultimately,
stay.
Ultimately?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to do a wood floor and replace it. You might strip it.
Exactly.
But you're not going to replace that. What about you, Connor? Thinking about, like, a gray wood floor.
Once again, I think Jesse has said exactly what I wanted
That's
to say.
That's a cop-out.
No, actually. I mean, wood floors have been around for so long. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Sure.
So this, like, traditional brown wood floor, I think it's here to stay, and anything else is not questionable, but you'll be taking more of a gamble with it.
I think so. What about tile that looks like wood? I see that everywhere I go, like that dark tile that looks like it's wood. Everything now, if you guys notice, is linear. It's not like square anymore. Tiles are very linear, but tile that looks like wood, like or dislike?
I like, if I'm going to go tile something, I want a traditional tile.
So you want your tile to look like tile?
Yeah, exactly. If I want to get wood, I'm going to get wood flooring. You know what I mean? If I'm going to get tile, I want tile flooring. I don't like the mix of the two. I don't know. what it looks like, plus the texture is just going to throw me off.
Yeah, the texture is really weird, but people do it sometimes as a practical application where they just can't have, for whatever reason, maybe it's on slab, where they can't have that, so that's a solution. The one thing I will say is that the tile that looks like wood in sort of a dark gray tone or those kind of a tones does really work well with the industrial look. But the acoustics change a lot. So if you're in a room that has an echo to it, you have tall ceilings and stuff, and nothing to absorb the sound, it will be just terrible in that space. So you want to keep that in mind. So two industrial elements so far is going with the gray colors with a nice pop of white trim to offset it a little bit. And for floors, we're thinking about maybe the if we're going to do a wood, it would be sort of a dark wood with a little gray in it, maybe a tile floor that looks like wood, or perhaps stained concrete if we could do it. Let's talk about something that you said that was different. You said the wood in your restaurant isn't just on the floors, the wood is everywhere. So where are they applying this wood? Because that's something that's really trending right now.
Yeah, so most of this restaurant, I feel like, is wood.
Is it?
Like the pillars are wood, the bar is wood, the benches are wood, tables, floors.
Everything's wood.
Everything is wood. If you like look at the tables, I mean underneath it's metal, so you can tell it's not like all like it, like if you had everything wood, I feel like that would just be overwhelming.
So the table top, I guess, is wood.
Yes, exactly.
And then the base is metal.
Mm-hmm.
Is the base just sort of a like a silver metal, or is it painted?
No, it's a very dark,
like gray?
Almost black.
Okay, almost black, like iron looking.
Yes.
And then it's contrasted by the wood.
Yes, exactly.
So the wood that's on the tabletops, is that what they would call more of like a rough wood, like an unfinished looking wood, or is it finished?
It's all finished, almost. It's like very polished wood.
Okay.
So I'm trying to think. I was going to say like a tabletop, but
sure.
That's,
no, but it's like one solid piece,
yeah,
right?
It's all
so
one solid
I was
piece.
Picturing more like planks of wood almost that were kind of rough. So it's like a solid polished piece of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a live edge is?
No.
So what's very kind of popular right now, I was published, which you guys all send you to read, in the February and March issue of Design New Jersey magazine, because I do a lot of kitchen work. And in the kitchen, I made my own kitchen table. We went to a place out in Pennsylvania, and a tree that was going, we chopped down, and we took the layers of the wood as they were, with all the rough edges and the holes and everything, and we finished that table to be the size and the spec of a table, but kept what was called the live edge. We didn't finish it off and seal it. So that's something that's trending and works very well with the industrial kind of look. But it sounds like you have that wood that's on the table, and then what we did was I found an old base that was iron, a black iron, and then we connected those together. So that really works with the industrial thing. It sounds like kind of like what's in the environment. Talk about wood like everywhere else. Is there wood on the walls at all? Are the walls painted or are the walls wood?
The walls are painted, but there is some wood in some places. For example, like in doorways, it's wood. There are dividers that block off like where the kitchen is as opposed to where the dining section is, and there's wood there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like I said, most of this restaurant is wood.
Is it like light wood or dark wood? Or
It's interesting because when you look at it in the daylight, it is kind of a... like a mid-tone, I guess. Like
okay.
it's not too dark, it's not too light.
Too light, right.
But then when night comes around, the way that they have the lights set up, it's almost spotlighting the different tables.
Right.
So the wood becomes very dark.
Dark, yeah.
And so you're only able to see like your table and your food, and then like on the floor, obviously, you have to be able to make sure you're not like stepping on anything.
Sure.
But everything else kind of like falls away.
That's kind of neat, right? That element sort of changes that night because you're using wood. So the third thing that was on my list that was trending is actually that, in fact, wood on the walls. So what I'm seeing people do these days is they're getting reclaimed wood or older wood, and then they're taking an accent wall. Because as you said, if everything was wood, it would be really unattractive. We talked earlier in the broadcast about having a balance of things. But taking like maybe a wall, like let's say you're going to do your bedroom over. I have actually another intern here that I haven't met yet. He's King College. He just graduated. He's a senior. And I was helping him redo his bedroom in his house. So he painted the walls gray owl, one of the colors I recommended, white trim, which he loved, white ceiling. And then he's like, I want to do something on my headboard wall. So I have a company called Johnson Brothers that does wood for walls. They do floors too, but they're known for the wood on the walls. And we had picked a wood that was sort of a rough-looking wood, a wide board. And he made the back wall, the accent wall, just out of rough wood, which is really kind of a nice look and brings another element. We did a low bed in that space, and that really no pictures on the wall. It was the element of wood on the wall that was really kind of cool looking. They also have a wood that's sort of almost a black looking, that's sort of stacked, like stacked tile. That I've seen done. I haven't done that yet in a on a fireplace wall. So they had a very simple minimalist fireplace that was just like gray slab, and then they had this black behind it. That was really sharp, and a backdrop of having wood on the walls. So I think that's another really good element for that. We're going to take our last set, just a couple quick commercial messages, and we'll be back with a lot more the industrial chic. Ooh, the industrial chic version of modern design.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. Just a couple of minutes left, but with today's topic I get to share with some younger folks who know more about this than I do, probably. And that is Jesse and Connor, who are going to be with me this summer on Modern Design, making it better and maybe more modern, right? So we talked about some of the elements. We talked about colors going gray. We talked about flooring, different options with tile and with polished concrete. We talked about adding wood on the walls. Let's talk about metal. Metal is really intrinsic in sort of getting that industrial design. Industrial Revolution was all about growth and about metal and expanding. So I'm seeing a lot of things that have like a corrugated metal or just things for decorative that are metal that work really well with this. Now, before we went to commercial, you talked to me about the table bases, that the table bases were metal, they were dark metal, and they gave it sort of that industrial look. It was good because it also balanced the table, and you told me the table itself was sort of highly polished.
Yes.
So how did the contrast look?
It looks really good.
Right. And then if everything was metal, it would look terrible, right? It would look like a factory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the balance that does that. What do you think about using metal in your decorating, guys? I've seen metal on walls. I've seen people take sheet metal and put it like sort of halfway up the wall to bring that and then do like a dark color on top and then have like a art rail and then put some art. But the art has a lot of color and warmth. What do you guys think about using metal, whether it be maybe in a table or on a wall, or you know where metal looks nice if you do if you have a bar and then you can do like the base of the bar in metal and then have a really nice wood top. What about using metal in decor?
I think it depends on the type of metal.
Mm-hmm.
I like things that look cleaner and more smooth, if that makes any sense.
No, it does make a lot of sense.
It just needs to look clean and smooth for me. I'm not a fan of like the older looking metal. I know that is a style,
right?
But I like the clean, smooth steel, like if anything. So that kind of stuff really pops out to me. And I honestly makes it feel cleaner.
Sure.
Especially if you can take care of it a little bit.
One last element and then we'll sign off, and that is pendants. You guys know what pendants are?
No.
Pendants are the light fixtures that drop from the ceiling. Now, they usually have some sort of a glass on them over kitchen islands and bars and stuff like that. Clear glass pendants with the new light bulbs. The light bulbs, I don't know if you're familiar with light bulbs, but they have the filament showing. They call them Edison bulbs.
Oh, okay.
Definitely, definitely you can just add that element, and it'll make things very urban, very industrial chic. Well, listen, we've come to the end of another episode of Modern Design. I have great guests coming in the next couple of weeks. So thank you for tuning into our show and now watching our show on Facebook Live. You can always go to www.hunterdonchamberradio.com to listen to any of our podcasts, or go online to the Modern Design page on Facebook to watch our show. Thank you, everybody, for listening and watching, and have a terrific, terrific day. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News.
The attorney for former FBI Director Andrew McCabe told Senator Chuck Grassley that his client is eager to testify before a Senate Judiciary Committee, although it should be worth noting that McCabe said the only way he would testify is if he gets immunity or he would be pleading the Fifth. Former Congressman Jason Chaffetz says this is all very interesting.
Well, the Inspector General, although the report is not out, could be out any minute, could be out any day. It seems overdue at this point. But previous to this coming out, this report, there was a criminal referral made within the Department of Justice to prosecute him. So now the United States Senate wants this person. Remember, this is a person who is very senior in the administration within the FBI. He was the acting director for some time.
In a tweet today, President Trump celebrated Tuesday night's primaries and dismissed the suggestion that there would be a blue wave in November. The president even suggested there may be a red wave. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered too, so why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
If you feel you simply can't keep up with the